What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, the morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is April 9th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. We are going to be closing PL Pro Lifetime at the end of this week. So if you were thinking about jumping in now, go consider getting it. You'll get a free hoodie, a Hall of Famer hoodie exclusive to just being a Hall of Famer, or you can get yourself a shirt and a mug instead. Also, of course, this is something that I'm never going to sell. I'm planning on making PitcherList exist for a very long time. And if you want to help us create all the fun things that we want to make faster than expected, the best way to support us is to become a PitcherList Pro Lifetime member today. So consider doing that. Go to PitcherList.com/lifetime. Tyler Anderson, 7 innings, 0 earned runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 3 strikeouts with 17 whiffs. He got a gallows pole there. This is Tyler Anderson. It was over the wins. It was a win and it was over the Rays. So I think Tampa Bay's a really bad offense. That said, Tyler Anderson did do good things with 4 seamers upstairs and changeups down. His cutter was okay. So that works. It's all right. I don't feel that we need to really go after Tyler Anderson. He goes to Fenway next. Don't really feel like that's a good enough matchup to go for it. So if he's on your wire in future weeks, hey, consider Tyler Anderson. He has this in him, and that's really the most important part. But we don't really need to get him on our team and say to ourselves, look, he's going to be just like he was in 2022 with the Dodgers. I don't think that's the future we see for Tyler Anderson. Nestor Cortez had a great game of 8 innings of shutout ball against the Miami Marlins. So lovely to see that. Just 2 out of 42 whiffs on his 4-seamer, though. It was a better cutter and sweeper command. That his glove side, he threw better strikes, and that was really the problem before, is that the first inning was just never efficient, and he would either throw too many mistakes or too many out of the zone. He just couldn't really get into a rhythm. He did in this one. It's really cool to see the first 8-inning game outside of Ronel Blanco's no-hitter this season. So love to see that. I hope it sticks around. I think this was kind of just a weird one of efficiency, and I'm still not totally sold on Nestor Cortez. Jose Berríos against the Mariners did well and got the win for a King Cole at 38% CSW, 0 runs in 6.2 innings. His slurve is looking so good. And yes, I just said the word slurve because that's just what StatCast calls it. It means two playing curve more. Fine. But it's just a curve at a lower arm angle. Anyway, it was great. It's down in glove side. And when we see that consistently from Berríos, especially when he has the sinker that is very much in the zone and getting those strikes that he needs, things are good. I am a little worried that he isn't doing enough to take down lefties, and we do see that curveball go away as the season goes on. Like, he has these pockets of this amazing stuff, is why he's the great undulator after all. Though I do like that he's trying more and more with that cutter, 5 over 6 cutter strikes here against lefties. That's what we want to see. Hopefully it does become more of a 10-15% usage pitch as he uses it against left-handers exclusively. Spencer Turnbull did well, and a lot of people are thinking, oh man, now it's it. This is it. We do it. We go in. I mean, sure, it's the Pirates next. He went 6 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 6 Ks. But I mean, it was like 91-92 on his fastball. It's really a cutter. And he had a good sweeper too, and it just kind of worked. I don't really think that Spencer Turnbull is something incredible and like a league winner or anything like that. But if you want to Vargas rule it, yeah, go ahead. No problem there. Tristan McKenzie, and I want to mention for Tristan McKenzie, he pitched a 5-15, which meant I got to see a lot of his start before I published the list. So this outing actually was taken into account for yesterday's ranking. It's, I think, the only one that was. And it's 5.2 innings of 0 earned runs, 3 hits, 4 walks, and 2 strikeouts, 6 whiffs, 22% CSW. Against the White Sox, he gives a Philly here, 5.2 innings. I mean, it's just terrifying. We saw upper 80s. I even typed that out wrong, and then I just changed myself too as I said it. Upper 80s fastballs at times, like 89 and 90, 91. He was like hovering around there. Sometimes he hit 92. But like, this is not the Tristan McKenzie that we want. His curveball is not consistent. His fastball just looks very, ugh. I'm terrified. There's clearly something affecting him. So I just don't like this from Tristan McKenzie. And maybe this is him. You know, remember Eno even talking about Tristan McKenzie. He says, yeah, I'm just trying to throw it as hard as I can. Maybe this is him not doing that, but he's clearly not as good. But Nick, 3 hits. I know. It's the White Sox, though, and this stuff just looks very pedestrian. So I lowered him a ton. I didn't say that you drop him, but you should consider dropping him if there's something good on your wire. Trevor Williams will never Trevor. Bailey Ober, thank everything. 5 innings, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 2 walks, 7 Ks, thank Koufax. Yeah, it's just the normal Bailey Ober, really. It's the Bailey special, right? And we are happy with this. 68 pitches, but honestly, I think it's the Twins saying, great, cool, you threw 53 last time, so we're just going to take this one a little bit easy. And we're happy we got 5 innings of you, not exert too much here and just be cash this in and move on. We got all the good stuff from Ober here. We got high heaters, we got low changeups, we got a good cutter and slider working, like it's there. And the worries we had to Bailey Ober, I think, are quelled for the moment. It is still a small sample, all that kind of stuff, but we feel good about it. I also do want to mention everyone else in his tier is looking great. So I don't know if I'm really going to readjust Ober for next week, maybe like one or two spots or something, but nothing massively different. Tanner Banks was part of a bullpen game for the White Sox. You have Miles Michaelis going 6 2/3 of two innings. Sorry, 2 earned runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, 3 Ks. That's a streaming victory for PLBot. Kind of wild and awesome for PLBot to get this. Miles Michaelis is throwing a lot more secondary, so I think PLV is liking that more than his typical fastball approach. He does get the Diamondbacks next, and I'm still just going to pass that one. I'm just not in for Michaelis. I think it's just too pedestrian. Yeah, I don't really want to cheese it. I mean, if you're... Look, the 2 earned runs are fine, but that could have easily just been 3 earned runs, and then it's bad ratios and 3Ks. It's just, yeah, no. I'm just not in. 1 earned runoff should not make or break a start. Mitch Keller against the Tigers got the win. 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, and 9 strikeouts. Hey, good job, Mitch Keller. You did the thing, finally, of not being bad. Did you do something that actually was great? I mean, no. It was just kind of more of the same-ish. Fewer four-seamers. Less emphasis on the four-seamer. See the difference, ESPN? Sorry. I don't know if you guys saw that tweet of mine. Anyway, Mitch Keller is a cherry bomb still. This is the Tigers being the Tigers. I am not leaning into this. Not to mention 3 walks here still. 13 whiffs over 98 pitches is not quite the overwhelming Mitch Keller against a very, very, very bad offense. Yeah, no, I'm not going for this. James Paxton against the Twins got the win. I inaccurately said he didn't get the win in the blurb. I apologize. That was my late delirium, where I believe I wrote it when the game hadn't fully ended yet, and I thought he left the game when it was 2-2 still, and it wasn't. It was they scored right after Bailey Ober left, so I take that back. Yeah, Paxton's fine, I guess. I mean, it's 93 on the four-seamer, and it's not doing the same things it did last year. The curveball really stepped on this, which was great in this one. Twins are a worse offense than the Padres without Royce Lewis for the Twins, so be careful there. I'm totally fine swapping him out for someone else to stream this week in your 12-teamers. Kyle Freeland against Arizona, of course, because this one's in Coors, not unlike the other two, which were out of Coors. This is the one we actually survives. 5 innings of 200 runs. Yay! And we all rejoiced with 4 whiffs and 18% CSW and 2 strikeouts and 8 base runners. Okay, no Kyle Freeland. Cole Story, bro. Javier Assad, 5 innings, 200 runs, 3 hits, 3 walks, and 7 Ks. Here's the thing. This was an 8-0 game entering the 6th inning. And then, yeah, then it fell apart completely for the Cubs, capped off by a 2-run shot from Fernando Tatis in the bottom of the 8th. Which, by the way, the most underrated inning in baseball. It's not the bottom of the 9th. That one gets all the attention. Top of the 1st, whatever. The bottom of the 8th is so critical. The game changes on a dime. A team goes from, cool, we've got 2 more innings to shut them down, to, oh no, we have 3 outs left to not lose. It's such a fun frame that gets overlooked so much. And so often we see this. The home team comes back in the bottom of the 8th, and all of a sudden they win and on top of the 9th. It's like, it's crazy. That's what happened here. Wonderful, ridiculous game, unless you're a Cubs fan. So sorry, Cubs fans. As far as Javier Assad goes, I mean, this is kind of cool. They went 7 Ks in 5 innings. But I don't trust that his fastball sinker cutter approach is really that great. It's kind of meh. And he might get more opportunities here. Looks like Ben Brown is taking that Drew Smiley-esque spot, but or at least following that one. But then when Tyone comes back, when does Tyone come back? I don't know. It does feel like Javier Assad is not going to last here very long. And He's not really that great of an arm. We have other guys to talk about, as well as the other guy who went in course, which was amazing. Someone returning back finally this year and looking like this guy we want him to be. And we're going to go over all of that after this break. Zach Gallen went to Coors, and he has a history of succeeding in Coors, and what do you know, he did here. 5 innings, 300 runs, and 8 hits. Not good ratios, but 10 strikeouts and 0 walks. Oh boy. And 12 out of 40 whiffs on that curveball. He was going down on his four-seamer the way that he should be. He's still a tick down in velocity. It is a little bit strange, but Gallen, okay, we're feeling all right now. We're feeling like might be okay out of the woods of lower velocity, and he's ramping a little bit back up, and this is a huge, huge game for his curveball, so it's good to see that. Blake Snell against the Nationals, 3 innings, 300 runs, 3 hits, 2 walks in 5 Ks. Honestly, this line doesn't really matter to me. It's more about, is Blake Snell looking more like Blake Snell, or is it just chaotic energy? This actually looked more like neckbeard. That is precise nibbling than general disarray, which is, of course, just a chaotic scattershot. This was the most Blake Snell blueprint plot I've seen from Snell in a very long time. And that's a good thing. He should have done better than 3 innings on 72 pitches here. I know he's not an efficient pitcher in general, but no, I think he really deserved better than this. So feel encouraged by Snell. This was against the Nationals, but I think just the skill set was what you want to be. And I'm looking forward to watching more of him, especially stretched out past 72 pitches. Charlie Morton against the Mets, 5.2 innings of 4 runs, 5 hits, 5 walks, 4 Ks. What is your purpose? Are you just passing the butter here, Charlie Morton? Because you just did this against the Mets. You can't walk 5. You had Julio Teheran on the other side, who, yes, did poorly, more at 11 against Atlanta, and you couldn't steal a win. Not cool, man. Charlie Morton is like your volatile Toby that you're just sticking in there for win potential, and yeah, this is the downside of doing that. Cherry Bomb is, I mean, you can call it whatever you want. He is volatile, and you hope that you get a win. Okay, cool. Luis Castillo did not do well against the Jays. 5 innings of 4 runs, 10 base runners, and 6 walks. That's 3 now for Castillo, where you are thinking, oh boy, what did I get myself into? Great buy low candidate. Luis Castillo constantly is a slow starter. I think last year was like the only year they didn't slowly start. It's a four-seamer slider approach that had too many sinkers this time. And really, the majority of those 9 hits were sinkers over the plate. And I just think, why do that? Your sinker is not your best pitch. Your four-seamer is. And then your slider is your second best one. And stop throwing these sinkers in the middle of the zone. So I hope that changes. I hope there's just a little bit more emphasis on that four-seamer, which I think did well yesterday. And honestly, I think Castillo just gets better as the weather gets warmer. So don't worry about it. Aaron Ashby returned to the majors after missing all of 2023. And he went at Cincinnati for 3.2 innings of 4 runs. It shouldn't really surprise you, considering it's him coming back for a first start in ages. And even in 2022, Aaron Ashby was not worthy of being on your roster. His command wasn't great. His sinker was worse, so on and so forth. And what did he do here? He didn't throw any sliders. His slider was arguably his best pitch in back in the day. He threw like 7 breaking balls total, 6. And it was pretty much just sinker, changeup. No. Also, the sinker's like 93, 94. What got me so excited back in the day was like 96 with a legit sinker movement. And it was just so hard to hit. And then you have sliders and changes for strikes. That's what got me stoked in 2021. But this is 93, 94 on your sinker. And you don't have command. And no, this just isn't it. Yu Darvish against the Cubs. 3 innings of 4 runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, 4 Ks. Blech. This was not it. He just wasn't feeling everything in it. Lots of low fastballs. He had high sliders. This wasn't him finding a groove, unfortunately. And it's just one of those days. It's going to happen. Graham Ashcraft against the Brewers, 5.2 innings of 5 runs. Yeah, so what's interesting here is the slider was great, like really good. And he threw 40 of them and didn't allow a single hit on 40 thrown. So he allowed 9 hits on the other 59 pitches he threw. Yeah. So don't throw so many sinkers just that are so far over the plate. You should use those sinkers against righties only inside and then just use cutters to lefties. And like, that's it. And then just use the sliders for both. That's pretty much it. or then just use the cutter down and away. Just like, you're so close, Ashcraft. This could actually work. But yeah, you're not there yet. So stop risking it until we see it. We have Zach Eflin. You have Zach Eflin against the Angels. 5 innings, 5 earned runs, 9 hits. Not fun whatsoever. He threw too many pitches way in the zone, whatever you want to say. This is a terrible sentence. We're going to move past it. But yeah, we're just going to continue on with Eflin. Blair Henley showed up because Framber Valdez is now having elbow trouble too. So is Sawyer Gibson Long, by the way. And I have to mention, that stinks. I'm so disappointed about that because Sawyer Gibson Long is a really, really fun arm who I think was going to do great things for the Tigers, and hopefully it's not a long-term problem for him. But if he is out for a while, it does mean that Jackson Jobe is now the SP7 for the Tigers with Matt Manning as SP6. So he does take one step closer. And once Manning gets into the rotation, Jobe becomes an instant stash. But anyway, Blair Henley had to show up, and it does mean, well, and Blair Henley, not so good. 1 inning pitch, 5 earned runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, 0 Ks. I get the feeling Blair Henley got the call because he was just the guy who was ready in AAA for that day because Framber wasn't ready to go. And yeah, he has a really good sweeper. I don't know if it was a Texas angle, but my gosh, that thing was absurd for how much movement on both the curveball and the sweeper. But yeah, this is nothing you want to go for. I do wonder now if I actually moved up Renel Blanco in my rankings yesterday just because of this news as it hit. He was originally in the 70s, but now he's in the 50s because Blanco is going to get more time. With Framber Valdez out, he won't get displaced by Justin Verlander. So Blanco is a solid pitcher, and he should be there for a little bit now. Blair Henley, you don't need to worry about whatsoever. Reese Olson, very disappointing start at Pittsburgh. 4.1 innings of 6 earned runs. Not fun. 9 hits, 3 walks, 3 Ks. Yeah, we just stick with Reese Olson. He's not gonna go 6 for 15 changeup strikes, I should say. And also sinker command was really bad here. This was an off night for Reese Olson, and I'm not gonna look too much into it. Off night for Jesus Luzardo as well, 4.2 innings of 7 earned runs, including 2 3 run shots. Yeah, that's gonna happen sometimes. It was actually a decent slider down and in to Anthony Volpe, who just hit that one out. So it happens, and we move on. Andrew Heaney against the Astros, not very good because, yeah, he's Andrew Heaney and he's against the Astros. So, yeah. Looking forward to tomorrow's starting pitchers. You have Bobby Miller, Aaron Nola, Tanner Bibee, Logan Gilbert, Dylan Cease. All those are clear auto starts. Maybe not Cease against the Cubs, but if you have Cease, you're going to do it. Same with Logan Gilbert at Toronto. Again, this is tomorrow. I'm not going to do today's anymore. I feel like you guys already have way too much planning already done for today, and tomorrow just makes more sense. Marcus Stroman against the Marlins. Nick Pivetta against Baltimore in Fenway, which is kind of risky. It's the Baltimore Orioles. It's Fenway. And also, he did not look his best against the Athletics. But I think we have Pivetta. We are just going to do it. So we're going to do it. Jordan Hicks against the Nationals. That's a really great matchup. He just needs to throw enough strikes. Zach Littell against the Angels. Good matchup. Littell's weird, but we just do that. Yusei Kikuchi against the Mariners. Solid matchup. Should be much better without the changeup focus. Cody Bradford against the Athletics seems like a solid play. He's done well for 2 straight starts now, and the fastball's looking good. Hunter Brown against the Royals. He's a bit of a cherry bomb. So is Hunter Green in Cincinnati hosting the Brewers. Hunter Brown has a better matchup against the Royals, so that's why he's ahead of Hunter Green. Both of them are a little bit more contentious than the rest of this tier, but I think if you have them both, you're just going to go for it. Questionable start tier has our stream pick of the day. That is Griffin Canning against the Rays. The Rays are not a good offense, but Griffin Canning is not looking good. So take your pick. Eric Fede against the Guardians is a Toby. Guardians are kind of all right as an offense, but Eric Fede is a command guy, and that could work out. Same with Seth Lugo against the Astros. He could just make this work. And Ryan Weathers has a good fastball, but I don't know if his changeup and or sweeper will be there. If both are, he will do well against the Yankees, but I think it's too risky to start in most leagues. In the do not start tier, you have Cole Irvin in Fenway. No thanks. Lance Lynn against the Phillies. If you really need strikeouts, chase that, I guess, but no. Jose Quintana against Atlanta. No way. Kyle Hendricks against the Padres. Patrick Corbin against the Giants. Ross Stripling against the Rangers. Tommy Henry in Coors, which isn't so bad. And Henry did okay last time. He got like 14 whiffs, but there's no way we're trusting he's going to have the same exact command in Coors, right? Okay. Chris Paddock against the Dodgers. Wade Miley, still ill in Cincinnati. No thanks, still a meaning. He's going to be limited likely in this one. And we also don't really know how polished he is at the moment, so we just bench it. And then Dylan Dodd against the Mets and Austin Gomber hosting the Diamondbacks in Colorado. That is it for today. Thank you all so much for the support and listening. And of course, remember, you can subscribe to this feed individually, separate from the main feed if you like as well. We have both the Plus Pitch podcast feed and of course the Pitchless Fantasy Baseball feed. It is that way for every single podcast on our network. But that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.